Welcome to From the Source. I'm Haruka Anu, your host, and this is the information-based program that explores topics and issues related to optimal living, including using life-centered practices and therapies and through using organic and natural products and resources. Today I'm on location with my guest, Michael Campbell, president of Lifeway Wellness Services. And Michael is an integrative wellness consultant. And today we're going to talk about the business, talk about his business, Lifeway Wellness Services, and his relationship to the role of and benefits of using a holistic lifestyle consultant. So let me start first by saying welcome, Michael, to the program from the Source.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Okay. So I guess I'd like to just get right into the meat of it and talk about your business. What is Lifeway Wellness Services? Can you give me a little bit of background and, you know, what the business is? How'd you get started? What got you to where you are?
Okay, well, I started as a sole proprietor without a company, as a massage therapist, 1980. And I was doing massage therapy, and that was prior to even going to school. Then I decided to go to school after being really frustrated in college and actually working on a health food truck at Howard University. And, you know, the customers would come through, and then especially during finals, they'd be all stressed out, and I'd start massaging them. And next thing you know, people were saying, you know, can I pay for an hour? And I said, really, you want to pay me to do this? You know, so that kind of started my business. And from there, I went to school in New York City at the Lawrence Harrison Institute and took a basic course in massage therapy. And that teacher also taught color therapy, herbology, and a course called Make Choices, Not Excuses, which is kind of like a life coaching process. And so I did a couple of those weekends and then started actually leading support groups out of that work. So, you know, I got into a variety of holistic practices back then. I'm also a practicing vegetarian since 1980. No beef, pork, fish, or fowl, and well, I actually gave up beef in 1976, beef and pork, and then in 1980 gave up fish and fowl. So, and all the while, I've been consulting with people, sharing my knowledge with people, and noticing that people are getting better and feeling better and really happy to have the knowledge and information. So then I started a company called Corporate Stress Therapy, actually became incorporated with the intention on taking chair massage into the workplace and working on corporate America, you know, to de-stress corporate America.
So now, before we talk about corporate stress therapy, I just want to sort of reflect and kind of summarize what you were doing. 20 years then you've been at what you're doing. Is this, you said about 1980, so you were now at 2008, so you're almost 30 years in for what you're doing. And pretty much what I heard and what you shared is the broad definition of a holistic practitioner.
Yes.
Excuse me, I have a bug in my throat. Excuse me.
I got something for that too.
Oh, thanks. So pretty much a holistic practitioner.
Yes.
In what you were doing, and I would imagine at that time, when I reflect, that a person like yourself was more on the what we consider to be the fringe.
That's right.
Because I think now the concept of a holistic practitioner is coming more toward the center.
Yes.
Of our thinking, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. But so how was it when you were initially engaged in the practice of what you were doing, and how well received, you know, was it in the larger community?
Okay, so I grew up with a whole bunch of friends, and when I stopped eating meat, they wanted to know why.
Yeah. Right, and, like, what's wrong?
Yeah. So, you know, and I was a lifeguard on Long Island, and you know, and in really good physical condition. So And when I eat, I sit down, I eat a serious meal. And so I would have literally crowds of people around me when I'd open my lunch at you know, on the beach. You know, so so then they started noticing that there was no more beef. You know, there was no more roast beef sandwiches. There was only chicken and fish sandwiches. And next thing you know, I gave up the chicken and fish. And next thing I'd come in with, maybe one day I'd have a whole watermelon, and that was my lunch for the day.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd kill most of it. and then my father is a physician. Yeah. And of course, you know, I had many debates, long debates with the benefits of becoming a vegetarian and changing your diet on you know, and the effects of that on health.
Yeah.
And of course, he would cite medical journals, and I would cite, you know, the books. I would cite from the books that I had read, and you know, the empirical evidence of this vitamin or that nutrient. And then eventually, he called me up one day and he said, "Michael, what's garlic good for?" Oh. And I said, "I got him." So, and I, you know, I debated with a lot of Western physicians and nurses and, you know, people, Western-minded people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just made me stronger. The more they challenged me, and they challenged me. Trust me, they challenged me.
Now, from a business perspective, going out to sell yourself to a community, I would imagine there's maybe more of a community that's more ready for who you are in this regard now than when you initially started?
That's right.
Okay. So then what was the process like? I mean, what was it like there going out here to sell yourself? One, you're sort of new to the practice, and so you have to sell yourself on the idea that, hey, even if you don't see the experience, I have the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then you're selling to folks who may not be as
open.
Aware.
And
even open, yeah.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
So, are you specifically asking about massage, or are you asking about all of what I did?
All of what you did and what you shared initially.
Okay. Yeah. So mainly what I would do, you know, it's funny because I recently just went and talked to a group of high school kids here in Baltimore who are actually on a hunger strike, and I talked to them about fasting. Mm-hmm. And I just got some feedback that I scared the hell out of all of them. But you see, the truth regarding your health can be very startling because of how we are educated and acclimated in this culture. So back then, it was even more so that people were entrenched in traditional ways of living that were not holistic.
Yeah.
And so what I would do is I would contrast the way that they were eating, the way that they were thinking, the way that they were experiencing aches and pains and illnesses in their body with my life and how my health and my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And saying that, you know, for instance, I every November I would get strep throat. Mm-hmm. And now my father, as I said, is a physician. He's an ear, nose, and throat specialist.
Yes.
So he looked at my tonsils and said, You have beyond strep throat. You have tonsillitis, and you must have your tonsils out as soon as you know you reduce the inflammation in your throat. And I said, "Oh no! You're not touching what God put in my body for a reason."
Yeah.
So I immediately gave up dairy. I have not had tonsillitis or strep throat since then. Right. Now I've gone back to eating dairy, but I eat it now with a lot of consciousness and awareness. I don't just eat it. You know,
so eating in moderation.
I eat it in moderation, and I can tell when I've had too much because my throat starts getting scratchy and things start happening, and so I just cut back, you know, do a little, you know, cleansing with maybe some lemon juice, water, maple syrup, and cayenne pepper called the Master Cleanser, and next thing you know, the mucus is clearing out of my system and I'm feeling better.
Right. So you became a living example.
I became a living example.
Okay. So then from that living example, to going into corporate stress therapy that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well,
now you did corporate stress therapy here in Baltimore.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Well, it started in Fort Lauderdale. Uh-huh. That's when I started the company and then moved here to Baltimore. And, you know, the corporate culture was not real open to having regular work done, like having me come in once a week or once a day or whatever, here in Baltimore. Now, I had heard that in L.A. and in New York, you know, companies were actually buying into the concept of having a massage therapist on staff and having, you know, their employees have regular work done.
Yes.
So, so every once in a while, a company would hear about me, and it was basically word of mouth, or I'd be in a conversation with someone on the street, or someone would mention my name, was, you know, referrals or whatever, and I'd get into an architectural firm or a law firm or you know, depending on where it was, and do it one day, and then maybe you know, the bank, I was a Sun Bank, had me at one point, they had me back the next year. Yeah, you know, right. I mean, I'm all the while saying, don't you feel how this, you know, aren't you experiencing like the benefits of this? And I actually took place, I took part of a study at the University of Miami. They have the Touch Research Center down there, and took place and was part of this research that actually documented the benefits of having 15-minute massages at work. Mm-hmm. So I actually compiled that information and gave that to companies, and they still were not, you know, they were reluctant to give up the almighty dollar.
So the, I guess intellectually folks could get it.
Yes.
But culturally hadn't shifted.
Right.
You know, there. So then let's talk about where you are now.
Okay.
You know, with
Lifeway Wellness Service. Yeah.
So
I changed the name because I realized that I'm much broader in my scope of practice than massage therapy.
Yeah.
I'm also certified as a life coach, and I, you know, I do offer my holistic nutrition knowledge to people. So I consult with people there, and I've, you know, hooked up with a couple of multi-level marketing companies and sold products here and there, not with anyone right now, but I, because of my life coaching, I now see the benefit of offering my services in a more broader scope. So that's why I changed the company name, and now I offer, you know, life coaching and nutritional consultation. I also have some background in astrology, and lately people have been asking, you know, the whole concept of doing an astrological reading has been coming up, and I'm actually able to do that. I'm not charging folk for it, but it's part of, it's part and parcel of some of my massage work, which I can get information or give information to people around with using astrology as well as my life coaching.
Okay. So now, as a life coach, tell us what is a life coach? I mean, so, and then how would, and what do you do actually? What's a life coach?
Okay. A life coach is basically a person who's kind of like a personal trainer for your life. So, you know, you have a personal, you go into the gym or you go to work out, you want a physical result, you hire a personal trainer, and that person guides and directs you and kind of shows you your blind spots in terms of how you're lifting weights or the type of exercise that you need to be doing to get the desired results you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Life coaching is similar in that what I ask a person what it is that they want in their lives, what they want to achieve, and I usually point them to the back burners, you know, the things that they put on the back burners of their life, and say, well, you know, what about bringing that to the front burner?
Okay. So you're dealing with some goal setting.
Goal setting.
Looking at people's vision. You know, and the
dreams
desires that they have.
And dreams. Yes. Uh-huh. And even places that if they're not even visioning or dreaming or whatever, the places where they're stuck, where they can't dream, you know, and that, you know, they need some freedom, you know, from whatever's holding them down or keeping them back.
So in that respect, you're doing what, to bring clarity to folks?
Yes,
in
clarity.
Speaking?
That's correct.
And giving them what, the space to operate out of that clarity?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. So, well, yeah. Once you get clear, then there's some actions. There's a choice at which you can take some action steps. Mm-hmm. So yeah, clarity and motivation, and I kind of cheer people on and I champion their, you know, their strengths and let them know that they are great.
So, but you're doing that with some structure, I would imagine.
Yeah. With some, right. Well, with some structure. Sometimes, you know, I walk into a session with no structure.
Yeah.
you know, because I've had a lot of experience in coaching, the structure will come to me very quickly.
You know? I mean, the structure is there.
Yes.
But I'm saying when you're working with somebody, there's a structure in a sense of you know where you're going, and
yes.
there are steps in a sense of getting there, like you just indicated for the person with vision and
yes.
the dreaming. Maybe you can't get or do this other step until you've
yes.
got some clarity and some space to work in. That's what I mean,
yeah.
and structure.
That's yeah. right. That's uh-huh. right.
Uh-huh. So then after the person has done that, getting that clarity
mm-hmm.
of like what who they are, what it is they want, where they want to go,
mm-hmm.
Then you're working with them on getting there?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then, so what's the process? So, you know, in a sense, some example of a process.
Okay. So I had a woman who wanted to, she was retired and had a dream of traveling around the country in an RV.
Yeah.
And she's also is a storyteller.
Yeah.
So we you know, this was like a beautiful dream, and I said, tell me more about the dream, and we got the dream completely fleshed out, and I said, okay, now what do you have to do? Well, okay, well, I think I have to start clearing out my current apartment that I live in, given that I'm going to not be living in an apartment anymore.
Yeah.
And that process took 6 months alone
mm-hmm.
of her having to get rid of things, and we had to deal with the issues of letting go, you know, what that meant for her, and also organizing, and then we had to deal with her physical energy that she could not. She had to allot 2 hours a day instead of 4 hours a day to packing, and you know. And then she had sales where she had people coming into her apartment and had all this, had the living room full of, you know, the things that she wanted to sell, and then the things that she wanted to give away, and the things she wanted to throw away, and then you know all that. And that was, I mean, that was just getting her out of her apartment.
So when I hear that, I'm hearing a whole lot that you're saying, because I'm hearing that. And to describe it in a few words, you did a makeover of this person, you know,
yes.
you assisted her in doing a makeover of herself.
Yes.
But then that makeover, I would imagine there were a whole lot of challenges, because one, you're talking about going from living in a physical structure like a house or an apartment.
Yes.
That's stationary.
Yes.
To now going and living in a quote-unquote a vehicle.
Yes.
To some extent, and traveling.
Yes.
And not being as stationary.
Correct.
And that's a lifestyle change in and of itself.
Yes.
And then the things that we get attached to. I think
yes.
when we look around our homes, we tend to say, well, everything that I have here reflects who I am to some extent.
Right.
And then when you're talking about letting go and paring down, maybe to even live in smaller space, maybe.
Yes.
Then
right.
in some instances, I would think people are thinking that they're letting go of themselves.
That's
or some
right.
aspects of themselves. And so
we have to redefine self.
Right. And in order to let go so that you don't feel like I'm losing this or I can't let this go because
yes.
if I do, I'm losing myself.
Yes.
I hear a lot in that.
Yes.
You
and
know,
there's lots of paradigms that people live in that they've got to like create a new paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, so and I coached another person in, that was in my class for she said we have three topics. And she named the topics, and she said, "But this one topic, you're a man, so you probably can't relate to that one. So, well, how about these two?" And I said, "No, well, let's go back to that other topic."
Yeah.
And that topic was about the fact that she kept packing whenever she would go on a trip, a weekend trip. She kept packing too many clothes. And I only had 15 minutes to coach this woman, and next thing you know, she had a breakthrough in her self-esteem around the fact that she went when she visited this friend, she had a constant like anxiety about the friend judging her about what she wore.
Oh.
So she was in tears in the middle of the session and didn't realize
within
that
15 minutes.
One, I'm a man coaching her on, you know, how to pack clothes, you know. But it wasn't about the clothes. It was
right.
about who, you know, her self-image
yeah.
and her self-worth.
Yeah.
And she thanked me profusely after that, and you know, I was amazed that was even underneath
yeah.
her large suitcase. No pun intended, all the luggage she was carrying around.
So you're really helping people get to a side of themselves that oftentimes, to use something you alluded to, gets buried.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by, like you said, their self, their sense of self, not self-worth,
yes.
however you want to phrase that,
yeah.
feeling whatever, you know, not as worthy.
Yes.
Busy lifestyle, I would hear.
Yeah.
Like the folks that you talked about in the corporate world.
That's right.
Who get so wrapped up in whatever it is that they're doing.
Yeah.
And then I would imagine folks who even fear going outside of what is considered to be the norm, irrespective of the fact that they may have benefited from what you've shared with them or what they may see intellectually.
Yes.
And know to be, yeah, a good thing, but maybe everybody else is doing it this way, and I just fear being different. Because you indicated that you took on this whole thing about being different from the person that you used to be when you stopped eating meat.
Right.
You went vegetarian and you were going against the tide.
Yeah.
So you're helping people to realize themselves, I guess, in spite of their obstacles.
Yes. And we actually had a meeting this morning and we talked about doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just do your thing. You know, it's the song "It's Your Thing."
Yes.
Do what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I get into with people. You know, what's your thing?
Mm-hmm.
And let's get you doing it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. In spite of, you know, what the people say.
Yeah.
You know.
So now, let's talk about your coaching, your services, Lifeway Wellness Services, and the movement towards going green, using organic, natural products and, you know, things of that sort, because I would imagine that there's an undercurrent in what you're doing that's there, you know, in terms of embracing that. There's a relationship there, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Well, so, people have more of a consciousness around it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the holistic lifestyle is very naturally green,
yeah.
You know, because we're looking at doing and living mm-hmm. naturally.
So now, for somebody that wants to use your service, and let's say, you know, hey, I want to reshape my life and I want to have the healthiest lifestyle that I could possibly have in all areas, physically, mentally, spiritually, and the like. To do so, must I embrace being a vegetarian?
No.
Okay. Must I embrace, what is it that I should look at, and what is it that I don't have to do necessarily to move?
Okay, that's a very, very good question. Where I come from in terms of my coaching with people who are wherever they are, they could be from A to Z, I encourage them to look at what's for them to, this is the process that I take people through is more of an inquiry for them. So I ask a lot of questions and try not to give advice
okay.
and give my opinion. Occasionally I put that other hat on and I give my opinion. But I have people embrace their own, get in touch with their own personal truth, and I coach them from their own personal truth, find out what their core values are, what's true for them, and have them begin to operate out of that rather than selling out on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if having a healthy body is what they're after,
yeah.
I don't say become a vegetarian. I say, you know, what do you know that would make you healthier? What are you aware of that would make you
yeah.
healthier? And they tell me,
yeah.
and I say, well, what's stopping you from doing that?
Okay, so you really are appealing to folks' own strengths
yes.
and their own foundation, and you're building on that. You're allowing them to build on it. You're not building
exactly.
on it. But you're asking the questions of what's stopping you, as you just indicated.
Yes.
So if you know this to be true,
yes.
and you know this is to be, you know, better, and you believe that, and you see that,
yes.
then let's talk about and let's examine what's in the way of you getting there.
That's right.
Sort of. Okay. And so, and then with your coaching, let's talk a little bit about who you're coaching.
Okay.
So, and then like in what respect is it folks who want to improve on their business? Folks, you know, physically who want to improve, you know, their like weight loss or weight gain, you know, just what areas?
Okay.
You know. Yeah.
Well, this is good. I have some body work clients who I do something called structural integration, which is working with the body's the balance in the body structurally, looking at whether you are in alignment. Physical alignment or not,
yeah.
and invariably that connects to where they're out of alignment in the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'll have a a bodywork session where I'm actually coaching people around what it is that they want for themselves in their lives. So I do that congruently. And often, you know, people are looking at, I'd like to have my business at X, you know, at a certain place by the time I'm done with these 10 sessions.
Yeah.
Structural integration requires 10 sessions. So, you know, we start with each session and we talk about what's going on in their body as well as what's going on in the body of their lives. So that's one way that I do some coaching, and that's who I'm coaching are my bodywork clients.
Yeah.
And then with other coaching clients, we're looking at, you know, just basically what is it that you're looking for, mm-hmm. looking to attain in your life.
So, like folks with nutrition, what's the
or weight
typical
loss.
Person? Oh yeah,
yeah, weight
so
loss.
Like what you said. So for example, with a but you talked about nutrition, for
uh-huh.
example,
uh-huh.
and I'm wondering, I know this isn't. Well, I'll just say it and you address it.
Okay.
Like what's a typical client?
Okay.
You know, looks like that says, hey, I want nutrition coaching. You
right.
know,
usually they're overweight.
Uh-huh.
They don't necessarily say they want nutritional coaching mm-hmm. or, you know, coaching. They say they want to lose weight. So obviously we're going to be looking at what they're eating.
Yeah.
And we're going to be looking at whether or not they're exercising, how active they are. We also need to look at what else, you know, is going on with their health and why they're overweight, and then the emotional and psychological components of that. Mm-hmm. But regarding nutrition, I had one client who had a goal of losing 50 pounds last year. She ended up losing 25 pounds, which was great. You know, she got yeah. that far, and this year she's now looking at losing the other 25.
Wonderful.
But we looked at a goal of 50. And, you know, I really had to do maybe a little boot camp work with her at some point because she wanted to kind of, you know, cut corners. And she would also put off the what it was that she needed to be doing every day because, you know, she had, you know, her work was overwhelming at this point and she didn't have time to make a salad at work, so she grabbed whatever she could or, you know, things like that. So we had to kind of micromanage her yeah. every day and say, okay, you need to call me and tell me what you ate today
yes.
or text me and tell me how it went. You know, on a scale of 1 to 5, you know, where were you? 5 is really great and 1 is not. How was your day in terms of your food intake?
Yes.
And then so I would be able to kind of monitor and maybe text her back saying, okay, what's it going to take for you to get from a 2 to a 3?
Yeah.
Like that. But that we did look at, like, you know, these donuts that you keep, you know, eating, you know, thinking that it's not going to really hurt you every once in a while you sneak a donut. Is that really serving you?
Yeah.
And how about, you know, something that's more healthy that is also kind of emotionally like a comfort food, because obviously you're eating the donut because, you know, it's giving you something emotionally because it's not nutritionally,
yeah.
you know, so...
Yeah.
So that's kind of the approach I do with the coaching.
So there's something interesting that you hit on there, and that is what is the motivation that there's something behind, let's say, eating that donut that isn't always just the donut looks so good, but it's something psychological maybe that you
yeah.
or emotional that you deal with. Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying, your services includes a variety of modalities.
Yeah.
So as you indicated with physical...
structural integration.
Structural integration. So you're dealing with physical therapy, I guess, in some respect.
Yeah, well, it's more of massage therapy.
Okay, massage therapy, and then yeah. the nutrition. And then there's some elements of psychology,
yeah.
You know, that goes there. And I would imagine some sales. In a sense of how you get your message across
yes.
To folks and have them embrace
yeah.
Taking that on. So, Michael, let me ask you this, too. Now, for somebody listening to this, and because what one of the things I do believe in your service, and I believe in the idea of what this kind of service offers people, in a sense that I hope this isn't cliche-ish, that we always can be better than we are,
mm-hmm.
or more than we are, not just better, but that we can really be a lot more dynamic than we tend to be, and oftentimes we settle someplace, even though I think most people want to be somewhere else, a little bit better here, a little bit better there.
Right.
And I think you do that kind of work. What would you say to somebody, what do you say to folks, that you feel they should hear and sort of resonate with and examine that will allow them to take you on and use your service in their life?
Well, you know, again, I ask the question of them, you know, how's your life going? Or, you know, I usually am in a conversation with someone, and it's funny because another client, a recent client of mine, just said, like, why you, you know, I listened very intently, and she said, what? And I said, I'm just checking you out. She said, you looking for the cracks? And I said, yeah, it's kind of like that. It's like water seeking out where all the cracks are and going down into the cracks. And so when I'm in conversation with someone, I'm listening for where their life is great and where their life isn't, and how they feel about that. Because sometimes people are cool with the fact that life isn't so great, but oh well, I'm good with that. And so that's fine. If they're happy with that, and they seem content and accepting of that, then fine, you know, mm-hmm. that's okay. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to have a mediocre life if that's what you want.
Right.
And, you know, and actually could be great for you. Having a mediocre life could be your goal.
Yes.
You know, especially for type A people.
Uh-huh.
You know, uh-huh. Because, you know, the type A thing can really kill you.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe mediocre is really what you want to have, you know. Uh-huh.
So dialing it back, is that what that is?
Yeah, dialing it back, you know. Bit. Uh-huh. So I can't sit as a judge as to what your life should be.
Okay.
I let people tell me what they, you know, what they want, and they will tell you what they want. You can hear it in the conversations.
Yeah.
What they say and what they don't say.
So now, how does a person find out that it's you that they need in that respect then? Because like you're saying, all right, I am, you know, you're the judge. I mean, you're not judging anyone. You're saying you're letting them be the judge. They're determining what it is that they want. How then do they know that, or how do they convey it to you, that the life that I have really isn't the life that I have, even though I may have settled and even though I may use language that says it's okay, when the truth of the matter is it isn't? You know how you find people who settle for whatever it is that they have, and then they find a way to justify it. But then the truth of the matter is that when you begin to probe, they begin to say, well, really, I didn't think I could do any better. You know, or I thought this was all that there was, or I didn't think I had the willpower or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So what's the question?
So the question is, how then do you see people getting out of that to get to you? You know, so in other words, how does somebody know that I want to call you up?
Okay.
And say, hey, look, I want your service. How do they tend to know that?
I mean, like, how do they wake up out of the unawareness that their life isn't working so well?
Yeah, or the acceptance of it. It's like, I think at times, like, let's say if we tolerate the mediocrity of our lives.
Right.
You know, in some respect. And so if I'm a person that's really tolerating the mediocrity of my life, but when I get these glimpses that truly this isn't what I want in my life, I just happen to be here, and I want something better. How, you know, what is it that if folks have conveyed that generally allows them to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to call him?
Again, it's a conversation that entails me addressing or me like sensing that in them and you know, speaking to it, and finding out how they respond to that. If they seem completely overwhelmed or in denial about it, then I don't go there with them. But if you know, you use the word resonate, if I sense that they're resonating or feeling good about the thing that they wish for, hope for, dream of, then I make note of that verbally with them, and then usually I engage them in a mini coaching session right on the spot. You know, like what if you could have that?
Yeah.
great life that you're talking about right there.
Mm-hmm.
How would your life be different? How would you feel?
Which gets me to this then. What motivates you in your company? So is there like some theme, you know, that's there that that's pushing you, you know what I mean? Is it like to give great life to people, or like what's there for you and what you're doing?
Well, I've been a person who has always desired to help people. Again, I mentioned I was a lifeguard. I was saving lives, you know, literally.
Yeah.
And then went on to save lives through holistic, you know, health.
Yeah.
But specifically with the coaching, what I really love is seeing the transformation that takes place in people before my very eyes and before their very eyes, and especially when they have transformed.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's miraculous. I turn into one big goosebump. And sometimes I'm moved to tears because I see them, you know, really embracing and seeing their own light, their own power, their own, you know, and then seeing them get free.
Yeah,
they're free, and it's like, you know, they just smile, and they're, next thing you know, they're talking a lot and they're laughing, and you know, there's no money that I could put on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I do it all the time.
Yeah.
And I said, at some point, I said, I should just get paid for this.
Right. speaking of which, so when somebody comes to you and they're looking for service, when they enter into an agreement with you, is there a specific amount of time that they must work with you? I mean, how does that work?
Well, I recommend and I require that they in the coaching that they have a minimum six month commitment
mm-hmm.
to the work, because there's a lot of peeling back of the onion that occurs when you are going after a specific desired result in your life that has been sitting there, or that you didn't even know about until recently.
Yeah.
And so 6 months is really a minimal amount of time. Mm-hmm. There are some people who get there quicker.
Yeah.
And what they end up finding is that they want another thing. Like they get to, you know, they start from A, they get to B,
mm-hmm.
and they're all happy, and they're like, well, this is good. Let's try C now.
Right.
You know, so they keep moving along. But yeah, it's a process to get to their desired result. And what I'm finding lately is that people get halfway there and they start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and they want to stop the coaching.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because they're like, oh, I got it. I see it. I feel better. I'm saying to myself, okay, well, you haven't really developed the strength and that muscle
mm-hmm.
to really get there yet, because I can hear it in your conversation. We can see that from week to week, you're not necessarily getting the homework done that you had, but you're having the breakthroughs, and you're having the insights, and you're having the epiphanies, and you are getting some results. You're actually, you know, the family relationships that were horrible are actually getting better.
Yeah.
You know, so let's keep the coaching going until you get to where it is that you said that you wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I recommend.
Okay.
You know,
so now one of the things I think of, I would imagine, for some people looking ahead, you know, when you say 6 months looks like a long time, even though you indicated it is a short period. Mm-hmm. When we look back on 6 months, we go, oh, that 6 months really went by very quick. For example, we're in 2008,
right.
and we're in the 6 month of the year, and it went in a flash,
yes.
you know, practically. But then when we look ahead at the next 6 months, oh, I'm going to be doing this from July through December.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just wondering, you know, I'm trying to frame a question around how do you help someone to really understand it's a fraction, it's a short period of time, and also to get beyond the things that may stop them. So, for example, when somebody looks at 6 months, I'm paying you for 6 months. So how often is a person engaged with you over the six-month period?
Okay.
And, you know, in other words, must I have, you know, must I give you my next born to pay for this? Or
okay, so what they do is they pay me for the month.
Yeah.
Each month they pay me, and we have half-hour conversations once a week.
Okay.
And yeah. sometimes they're 20 minutes, and sometimes they're 40 minutes, but approximately half hour.
Yeah.
And so the goal is to accomplish things that need to get done, or sometimes it's not they're not always material things or actual physical action steps that they need to take, but maybe an inquiry that they need to be involved in for an entire week.
So
we go kind of, when I say a month, every four sessions,
yeah.
you know, we renew up to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So they prepay me for the four sessions. We have half-hour conversations on the phone or in person. And then we go on from there and see where they are. You know, like I usually check in after 3 months and say, how's it going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually ask that after every session. Was this session valuable and
yeah.
worthwhile?
Mm-hmm.
And they usually invariably say yes.
Yeah.
And so we keep going. But then after 3 months, you know, I do another check-in and say, let's look at where the ground that we've covered. And is this where you want to be? And then, you know, reevaluate what's going to take to get where you really want to be, if this is not where you want to be, or, you know, this is great, let's yeah. keep going, you know.
Now, I meant to ask this earlier. For folks coming to you and who think, let's say I have a great life. I already have a great life. I don't need this. Have you found folks like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Who found themselves in your company, oh, I have the great life, and then somehow or another engage you in conversation and realize, oh, I actually could have it a lot better.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
That's rare because, yeah. you know, most people who say they have a great life really do believe that
yeah.
or really do have a great life.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I sit and listen, and go, oh, tell me about your great life, you
yeah.
know, and then I hear about the great life and I go, oh, you do have a great life.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. You know, and then, but I'll do a little probing. I'll, well, so, you know, could it be greater?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what could, you know, because, you know, you make a batch of soup, you know, and you taste it and it's really good. But then you start thinking, well, what else could I put in here that would make it even better, you
yeah,
know?
Right.
So.
Uh-huh. So, now, let me see what other question I have. I did have a question. Centered around the timing.
The timing of?
The amount of time that someone would spend with you and the... but anyway, okay, I know what it is. The question is, now, someone calls you
uh-huh.
and is interested in your service. What's the process? You know, going from start to...
Okay, that's
yeah.
a great question.
Yeah.
They say they're interested in. I say, well, okay. What I'll do is I will send you a client discovery form. You'll fill it out, send it back to me, and then we'll look at it and we'll read it together. And that will be our first session.
Yeah.
We'll go over your form, and usually the first session is an hour session because it really does take a while to get through that, all the questions, and find out what they really want to create for themselves.
Yeah.
So. So that's how we start, and then we set up, you know, the kind of the agreement that we have about showing up on time, or, you know, calling me on time, and having integrity around their work, that they don't give up, that they be who they say they were going to be and do what they say they were going to do, and so I hold them, you know, to maintaining their own personal integrity around. Their agreement with, you know, with how we structure mm-hmm. their work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now what, when somebody calls you, should they, so I guess are you asking you should have 6 months in your life to, in other words, should you be ready
yeah.
when you call me? Or you're going to determine that when
oh,
you
yes,
call.
Yeah, like one person called yeah. me and said, well, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
I'll call you in 4 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never heard from them, but, you know, I guess they figured out that they weren't ready, or they
yep.
didn't need the coaching or want the coaching or whatever. But yeah, I mean, there are people who said, "Oh, I need a life coach. I need one of those. I need
right.
a life coach."
Right.
You know, and then you know, when the rubber meets the road, they're either too confronted about the concept, or they're just not ready to do it. They want to, you know, I had one person who entered into a college degree program instead of doing coaching. Mm-hmm. So that's where their time and energy and money went to.
Yeah.
And so occasionally I check in with them to find out how it's going and et cetera. So.
Okay. So now, how does someone get in touch with you?
Call me on the phone, I recommend.
And a number being?
The number is 410-299-6037. That's 410-299-6037. Or you can email me at CST, that's as in corporate stress therapy, healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, at bigplanet.com. I'm better with the phone call. I'd like to hear your voice. Have a conversation with you rather than the static, you know, email, text messaging, and all the new technology that we now communicate with and think that that's personal and intimate conversation and dialogue.
Okay. So, Michael, I want to thank you for the opportunity to actually do this interview. And then for those who are listening, I would actually encourage you to call Michael and benefit from this service and making your life just great and wonderful. And, of course, I'm going to close by saying you're listening to From the Source, published here on BeMoreNatural.com. So thank you, Michael, and I truly appreciate it.
I'm honored, and thank you for your generosity and who you are that you're doing this work for people.
All right. Thanks. Mm-hmm.